For nearly 20 years, social media has been shaping the way we live our lives, from giving us almost all the information we receive to becoming the most used tool of communication. Over 95% of teens use social media daily in New Zealand, and on average, teens in New Zealand spend around 3.5 hours on social media per day. But even though it has its perks, many studies have found a strong link between high uses of social media and depression, anxiety, and even suicide. To combat this issue, the government has proposed a social media ban for everyone under 16. I talked to Catherine Wedd, National MP for Tukituki and proposer of the ban, about how this would change the scope of social media use.
So this bill is about protecting our young children and young teenagers from the online harms of social media. I'm hearing from parents and teachers regularly in our communities about the need to do something to support children and prevent them from accessing and using social media, because there's many negative impacts that are caused. We're seeing exploitation, inappropriate content, and of course it leads to mental health issues, and then there's the issue of addiction as well. And so that's why this bill has been brought forward.
While the reception of the ban has been fairly positive amongst New Zealanders, there has been a growing concern about how this bill will be implemented and whether it will either be effective or far too simple for teens to get around, making the law change redundant. Ms. Wedd said that the bill will likely be a mirror of the Australian legislation passed late last year, and so will likely involve an age verification system.
It mirrors the Australian legislation, which puts the onus on social media companies to ensure that under 16-year-olds yep. are not able to use social media. So it ultimately could bring in age verification, which would mean that under 16-year-olds need to go through an age verification process before they can use an account.
Mrs. Wedd also accepted the fact that there are positives involved with the use of social media, but that many studies have found that these positive effects are far outweighed by the negatives. For example, a multinational study across 42 European countries involving over 180,000 young adolescents found that over 12% had experienced cyberbullying, and that as the use rate of social media went up, so did the risk of being bullied.
Yeah, I think that, of course, social media has its place and it can be positive for some people who may use social media in a positive way. But there's been a lot of surveys and a lot of analysis done, which really does show that the negative impacts outweigh these positive impacts, particularly with our under 16-year-olds.
Ms. Wedd also brought up the government's cell phone ban in schools, saying that the feedback they had received had been overwhelmingly positive and that it had been a great success. She said that the government believed that this social media ban was a natural flow-on from the cell phone ban and that they were hoping it would receive the same reaction.
As I've already spoken about, you know, we are seeing issues of addiction. We're also yep. seeing behavioural issues in schools. And our government's already brought in the cell phone ban in schools, which has been very successful. And yep. teachers are saying they're seeing a lot more engagement. They're seeing students more engaged in their learning. And so this is a natural flow-on effect as well from that cell phone ban, where we feel that it will also have positive impacts on students' education.
In 2024, a global survey conducted by Ipsos found that 25% of 11 to 17-year-olds in New Zealand reported experiencing cyberbullying and abuse, placing us third amongst 29 countries surveyed. I talked to Brinley McIntosh, an adolescent psychologist, to go more in-depth about the effects and consequences themselves.
Some of the obvious ones, or the first ones that pop to mind, are things like bullying. So obviously, throughout, you know, using social media, it's like an undetected or a more covert way of bullying. So we can't really keep an eye on it. So we rely on kids coming forward and telling us what's happening. Whereas if it was happening, you know, face-to-face in school, we're much more able to see things. We have more witnesses. So that's a huge issue. Other consequences are things like issues with sleep. Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of research around, students or people in general, you staying on social media, therefore they're on their phones and they're up, and there's like the addiction kind of element behind it, so they're getting stuck on that and the algorithms are trying to keep them looped in, so they're staying on that and therefore they're not sleeping.
In addition to the clear negatives outlined, Mrs. McIntosh also pointed out that many positive interactions and effects can occur through and on social media, and that these can be a pathway to more social connections.
I suppose connectedness. So when these connections that people are making on social media are positive, then that can be great. It can be another avenue for people to connect, feel a sense of community, share hobbies or interests, particularly if it's through an online platform, like for gaming, for example. There's also, I suppose, elements of social media where we can look at sending positive messages out. It's a great place or an avenue to be reaching a wider target audience.
When asked whether the social media ban is going to be an effective and useful tool, Mrs. McIntosh said that she believed the ban would be an effective tool in reducing harm, but that she didn't believe it would be able to prevent harm effectively.
I think it would be a really useful tool for reducing bullying and reducing addiction. It's not going to be preventative. It's not going to stop it from happening, but I think it's definitely going to reduce the likelihood that it's happening or the ability for it to happen, and therefore with reduction in those things, that might then prevent some mental health concerns.
Of course, the decision makers and the experts aren't the only ones who will have opinions on this ban. To get an inside view of how the most impacted are feeling, I talked to Daniel Zhang, a Year 10 Christ College student, one of nearly 1 million kids who would be affected by this ban. He said that he could see the consequences of social media and the negative outcomes they could result in.
Yes, like people making fun of each other for how they do something. The person who's getting cyberbullied might feel depressed and sad, and they might stop using social media, which is probably a good thing, to be honest.
Daniel also said that he thinks the ban will be a mainly positive thing, as there are many situations where sometimes the best thing is to just not have social media as a distraction.
I think that it's an all right idea because, like, sometimes you gotta be on social media to talk to your family and friends. You might get distracted from what you're doing in real life when you're on social media. And you might, like, if you have math homework, you might not do it because you're on social media, and you might fail your classes because of that.
All in all, the social media ban seems as though it should be a big success if passed, with much support from both ends of the demographic spectrum. However, if the bill is passed, it would take at least a year, if not more, for all the systems and preparations to be in place for the bill to come into effect. This story is still a developing one, and we will have to wait and see whether this bill will ever take effect.